love the way he speaks. I love the way he thinks. I love the way that he treats his mama. I love that gap in between his teeth. I love him in every way that a woman can love a man. From personal to universal, but most of all, it's unconditional. And that's the way it feels. No. There ain't no substitute for the truth. Either it is or it isn't. You see the truth and needs no proof. Either it is or it isn't. And you know the truth by the way it feels. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly, because he is, yes he is. I wonder, does he know?
Let's go. It's Hot Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live, always local, always entertaining and educating South Florida. Celebrating over 30 years, Hot Talk continues to be the pulse of South Florida. Relevant, engaging, informative. Now, here's your host, Jill Tracy.
Pride gets no pleasure out of having someone, only out of having more of it than the next man. It is the compassion, not the comparison, that makes you proud. The pleasure of being above all the rest. Once the element of competition is gone, then pride is gone. That's C.S. Lewis. And good evening, I am Jill Tracy. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Hot Talk, South Florida's number one community affairs show. Each and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., we highlight the achievements and discuss the challenges with you and an engaging panel of guests. And I invite you, as always, to have a seat and perhaps a cocktail and join us for the conversation. 888-550-9105. My jewels tonight are from C.S. Lewis. Few authors of fantasy literature are as beloved as C.S. Lewis. Born in Ireland, Time magazine has listed the first of his Chronicles of Narnia. I never could pronounce it. Narnia. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as one of the top 100 English language novels written in the 20th century. And that is so, so very, very true. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man. Is that our president or what? Jeez. Jesus Christmas, I tell you. Shouts out, first of all, though, to my Lyft drivers. Ulysses and Samantha. I've met several this week, but Ulysses and Samantha stand out. Thank you so very much. Telling me the pros and cons of Lyft, because Ulysses was like, you should do it for your show. It would be good. You could, like, play it on Facebook Live before you come on the show, and then everybody can see. I was like, you know, it's not a bad idea, Ulysses, because they wouldn't know it was me. But as soon as I got in Samantha's car, she was like, are you Jill Tracy? I was like, God gives me away every time. So, we are constantly improving on what we created here at Hot Talk. And as we, you know how many times I've been kicked off of Facebook Live. So I was like, I fix you Facebook Live. There's so much rich, beautiful talent in South Florida. So we open the show tonight with Sheena O'Murray. Where'd she go? There she is. Hey. How are you, sunshine?
Hi. Thanks so much.
Please introduce your accompanying...
Chris Pope on guitar. Woo! He's an amazing guitarist in person. I'm just so honored to have him by my side.
Yes,
whenever indeed. I need him. I'm like, Chris, set of goals. So he comes through, and it's amazing every time.
It's good stuff. So you're going to sit in with us all night?
Yes.
If we make it through the night. Listen, I've been so beklempt by this week. So we've been working on this top 20, so the first 20 minutes of the show to, like, you know, kind of just regurgitate what has happened all week. And, boy, do I have a panel tonight to discuss all that's been happening this week and other. And just where are we going with this foolishness in South Florida? But joining me right now, Javed and Shanitra, the fabulous girls rock.
Hey, woo! Woo!
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Miss Jennifer Smith.
Hi.
Therapist extraordinaire who will be leaving us very soon and announced it on
Instagram.
Wow, really? I can't believe you just outed me out like that, Jill.
You outed yourself on Instagram.
Oh, my gosh. I know, but everybody doesn't follow
it's
me on Instagram.
Well, they don't. Okay. Well.
If you want to follow me, you can follow me at Sex Therapist Jen.
Thank you. Sex Therapist Jen on Instagram.
I'm still here to give you 10 hard months of sex talk.
There you go.
No pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Clearly. Clearly pun intended. Adrian Carter is in the building.
How y'all doing?
How are you, sir?
I'm well.
And I'm saving the panel after 20. They're a surprise. We have the barbershop. We have dug up the remaining bones of the barbershop. and we have added some spicy flavor to the barbershop for this year. I don't know if y'all ready, but, you know, get a cocktail and join us. So, listen, the top 20. Okay, so it's got to start with Bill Maher. Oh. So, is everybody seeing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So, listen, for those of you who don't know, let's just say I bet that Bill Maher wishes that he had wifed up Superhead now.
Oh.
Those of you who know that story. Are you familiar with Corrine Steffens?
Yes.
Okay, so you all well versed on that story, Bill Maher was on. He was interviewing Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska, and he said, "Yeah, well, why don't you come up and we'll show you." I did have the clip. Maybe I'll play it for you after the break. And now we'll show you around the fields. And he was like, "The fields? Oh no, I'm a house nigga." And then he went, "Oh." Actually, he really didn't. He kind of laughed, and the audience was kind of ha ha huh. We probably should not be laughing at that. And so it blew up. I mean, Twitter blew up, you know, minutes right after it happened. And then the next day, oh, what is his name? I have to ask. I don't want to tell you who he is yet in the barbershop, but one of our favorite black commentators on CNN, his name will come to me in a minute, the tall skinny one. It's only two.
Diamond.
No, it's not Don. No, not the the commentators that come.
The political. The
right,
political
right,
analysts.
The analyst.
Right, I know who you're talking about.
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
He did a special.
Not him. Not Bakari Sellers. Thank you very much, Bakari Sellers. He, when you saw it. He was dropping every nigga. I was like, yeah, it's not one of the seven deadly sins. So you can say it on radio and television, but, you know, that's the thing. Because when he was on his little nigga tirade, I said, you know what? When you think about it, though, was the N-word created so that others could say it and not say it? Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's saying the N-word is not as offensive as saying nigga.
Oh, the actual saying.
The actual
N-word,
saying of the word.
N-word.
It's like a, you know, it's like
socially acceptable
way to say, but you're still saying the same thing.
Right.
You're still leaving the imprint.
Right.
Do you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But
well
it
said.
Just doesn't. But you, because you can say N-word all day long, but it's a whole different connotation. Now I don't know about you all, but I was not that offended.
I wasn't either.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Listen, Bill Maher's a comedian. That's first and foremost.
Right.
So we got to, and if you've ever watched the show and you know him historically, he is one of the most supportive, the most insightful, most informed people on the black diaspora, on issues facing blacks in America.
Well, right. I wouldn't say of the black diaspora, but right. I say he knows more than most.
He definitely knows more than most.
I mean, he's, you know, he's a friend.
He is definitely. He gets a wristband. You know.
Thank you.
He does have a wristband.
I think that's true, but I think that it also leaves the door kind of open for other people to feel like, well, he used the N-word, so let me just start.
Well, we knew somebody was going to drop it because we talked about that before. We were just waiting for who was it going to be. And, you know, it just turned out to be him. Now, see, when I was...
I'm waiting for Trump to say it.
So, right, what, right?
I mean, I, you know, on behalf of the barbershop, I mean, let's just keep it
the barbershop is back in the building.
As Redman would say. I mean, a man has been dating black women for some time.
Thank you.
Let's be honest about it.
And he is a comedian.
I mean,
he went there.
And he's a comedian. He's a comedian first. I wasn't terribly offended by it. Yeah. I think we got to... You know, lighten up a little bit when people. What was the context of what he was saying? It was a
joke.
And he didn't go into enormous detail.
Right.
He said, "Oh, I'm not a field. I'm not out in the field. I'm a house.
I'm a house nigga." Right. You won't say it.
No. Well, I mean, I'm not trying to offend you.
Oh, okay.
I'll say it, but you know what? It's the radio. I mean, I assume the FCC controls things around.
Right, but it's that word is not one of the seven deadly sins. So you can technically say it. You just, you know, we've just stopped saying it because.
Have we ever heard that word, that phrase used? Like you know what I'm saying? Have we ever heard someone say, a white person ever say, I'm a house N-word?
Yeah. Okay, but see, and now this is what I saw. I thought that he was affecting, you know how people affect queens. And they're like, because he was, you know, like, oh, no, I'm a house. You know, like, yes, girl, no, I will not be up in the fields. You know, I thought that he was doing that kind of shtick. Now, you know, why?
He's a comedian.
He was probably high. Bill Maher smokes a lot of weed.
He
smokes a lot of weed, and it was live, and he was feeling himself, and it was tired, and he just...
Bill Maher has checked out of White America. If you follow him, and I watched the show for years.
Right. But, okay, so this is what I'm saying. I think he would have said that in a private setting. It just flew off his tongue too easily.
I can say this, though. What was disingenuous... was his apology.
I don't think he really was apologetic because
I don't think he really thought he did anything wrong. No. I think he did that because he may have thought it was the right thing to do. But I don't think, knowing Bill Maher said there is no God.
Thank you.
He made a documentary about it. So he speaks his mind, and I don't think he was very offensive, but his apology was disingenuous.
Yeah. Well, Michael Eric Dyson said very much the same thing. He defended Bill Maher's record of being down for the cause, but so did Spike Lee for the most part. Spike Lee said, him using the N-word, I think it's problematic. I'll leave that one right where it lands. So, but I do think that it was sort of kind of in jest. But does it open the door? Did we need Bill Maher to open the door so we could have a conversation?
No.
You know what I'm saying? I mean...
Listen, for what it's worth...
Oh, it's going to come up again.
Right.
Yes, you come on back.
I just finished up my tape over in the barbershop. I'm not giving out any more passes to the cookout.
Come on.
To anybody else who thinks they're a friend. I got friends that are currently going through with Norman Lear, the former creator of Good Times, because he did the same thing with Gerard Carmichael not too long ago. You know.
Oh, no. Detail.
So he was on a podcast, and Gerard was like, we need to go ahead and take the energy out of the word and take the word back. So he got with Gerard Carmichael and collectively, after a five count, said the N-word. As like a feel-good unifying moment. And right now, like, all my elected official friends are having a backlash, you know, going back and forth with the organization that he founded because, no. I get it.
You
created
Bill
Jefferson, you created JJ and Michael and James Evans, but no,
you
sir.
You can't do that.
You don't bring the potato salad to the cookout. You don't get a pass either. You know, like, we're not post-racial. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're in Trump's America. And
well, and that's what I think a lot of...
We can't be giving out passes to the cookout.
There is no such thing as post-racial. I mean, you know, I don't even know where that came from.
Right.
Because that truly did not... Well, no. Yeah, that truly did not happen. But, and in that same kind of pot of stew, it being comedy, is Kathy Griffin.
Mm.
Now, they're ready to hang, tar, feather.
Which is ridiculous.
Hypocritical.
Extremely.
Yeah, I mean, and she lost her gig with Anderson Cooper doing New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Those of you who don't know that story, she... they did like a mock bloodied head of
Donald Trump.
Him. Mm-hmm. And
you can't even say his name.
Right, you know.
Him.
45.
Right. And so it just, I mean, the criticism started out the door. And I put up a meme, and I'm sure a lot of people put up that same meme, mm-hmm, of her picture with the head and then all of the caricatures of President Obama hanging,
mm-hmm, right,
from, absolutely, you know, over the 8 years he was, mm-hmm, in office. Mm-hmm. And nobody was ever incensed.
Nobody
to the
apologized
level
for that.
That. Nobody ever apologized for it. Nobody was ever even called on the carpet for that. And now, you know, is it sexism that they're calling her on this bad?
No. I don't think it's sexism. I just think that it's because it's him. We won't say his name. Number 45. Is that what you
45.
Said?
Right, 45.
Yeah,
that's a good one. We'll call him the 45. 45.
I think it's just because it's him. And when all of the things are going on with President Barack Obama, and those things were blatant. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. No one had anything to say about it. No one thought that anyone needed to apologize. I can't think of the guy, but there was a guy. He had a rifle. I don't even know what his name was. He was the one that talked about shooting him or, uh-huh, something.
Who got an official invitation to the White House.
Who went to the White House, yeah, in the Oval Office with Donald Trump. So I just think it's absolutely 100% hypocritical. And I just think that is just a sign of the times that we're living in right now.
I honestly think that it was probably Trump that had something to do, mm-hmm, with the getting in touch with somebody at the network. Because had nothing really happened, then he would have attacked the network for allowing something like that. I think he probably got some type of involvement in there. And that just shows how far he's willing to go instead of, you know, focusing on the other great important things that are going on in this country or the other countries that he's trying to destroy.
Yeah.
You know, like, this was something that was more of a priority for him, you know, like Kathy Griffin, again, we're talking about a comedian, you know, mm-hmm, they're going to use humor however they want. And at this time in our country, she was trying to bring light of what is happening in this 45 Trump America. You know, and it's just unfortunate because I feel like Kathy Griffin always gets the short end of the stick. Like, she's always somehow ended up on the D-list for something that she has said. And it just is unfortunate because she is a great, strong woman comedian that always seems to lose her voice.
Right. Well, I really regretted that she did that press conference. Did anybody see that press conference on the Saturday, whatever it was? I really regretted that she did that because that was pandering, and it just really looked really bad.
Yeah, her apology.
And so did she. Mm-hmm. And she just looked like she hadn't slept in about 4 days. And they'd already started calling for her, you know. And I think that just exacerbated it. That's kind of sad, I think.
Trump is a bully. and if you look at Colin Kaepernick, again, one of the owners is was slated to be an ambassador, one of the NFL team owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a call, which came from Trump, that Kaepernick, mm-hmm, can't play in the league because of what he deemed as being un-American, being that he knelt throughout throughout the national anthem throughout the season. So you also have now him coming around with Kathy Griffin. You find that with Kathy Griffin, he again imposes his presidency and his power and his will because he is a master, and we have to... One thing we can give him credit for is he's a master marketing. He's a master public relations individual in terms of the things that he does. I think so. I'm telling you, he may be as extreme as he is. He is where he is because he knows how to
manipulate the game.
Right.
Yeah,
but he imposes his will. And you know, but again, remember, let's go back to his campaign slogan, to make America great again. Make America great again. So his position is that he wants to impose himself and his power in all aspects of American life to show that white America is great again.
And now to the barbershop up in the building. But now, but a friend is always of High Tar. Miss Valencia Gunder.
Honestly, I mean, he petty. And at the end of the day, like, petty when she did that, I don't know why she didn't think she was going to get the clap back. Like, real talk. Yeah. Like, every time I go on a rant and I be like, F-45, like, I already be expecting, like, the CIA to kick my dough in.
Right.
And he's petty like that to come get a girl out of Liberty City. Like, come on. Like, everybody knows that about him. We've been to that about him even before he ran for president. He's just petty. And he's, like, the petty of all the pettiness of all petty world. Like, that's what he does. And
I think
she knew that. I think the network knew that. And everything, like, that he was going to clap back. And that's what he does. Like, come on. He talks every little thing. Like, his Twitter still be going off everything. Like, what did they expect?
And his Twitter
now, it's still messed
up. For the love of God, yeah.
It's still messed up. Like, I don't think that they should have came for her head like that. Head.
Right.
They shouldn't have came for her like that. However, you know, come on. And then I think her network, real green, like you, like the young lady was saying, like, she always on the D-list. Like, they set her up for the fail.
They
come
set
on
up.
Now.
Right. Yeah.
Because they asked Anderson Cooper to do it.
Right. Ooh, right. And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. On the other side, I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
The Michael Davidson Show is back on the South Florida Airways.
If you believe as I do, that love does not conquer all. That no matter how much you love a person, you cannot change who you are and you cannot change who they are.
Michael Bates, you are absolutely right.
See?
Because I've been in this relationship and I made the mistake of letting him move in. But it's time to go. He has to
What's the problem?
I can't take it. He likes to fry everything. He's going to wipe the grease off my cabinet and my stove.
Yes! What kind of stuff is he frying? What is?
Sit there until I wash.
With the grease in it, he won't even take the grease out the pan?
He won't even take the grease out the pan.
Wait a minute, what are you there for?
Oh, hey! Oh, hey.
Oh, folks, radio. Michael Beeston. Shutting the city down. Weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on Hot 105. Today's R&B and old school.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black Movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black Movement.
This is going to be the ultimate summer. First stop, Macy's Summer Sale. Major swimwear style alert. Hot looks for us.
And the guys.
Beach, here we come.
And the essentials are on sale.
Shorts, tees, polos.
Just what the guys need.
Oh, I saw the cutest sundress.
Love the rainbow colors on these dishes and towels.
I'm thinking pool party.
Plus, we can use any Macy's money we earn.
It's like one stop for all our summer must-haves.
Okay, now we sound like a commercial.
Dive in. Macy's Summer Sale is happening now.
And now for something deliciously different from Wendy's. Wendy's Double Stack is still an option in the 4-for-4. With a quarter pound of fresh meat, 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink. That's a deal so good it should not exist. Like how owls shouldn't be able to turn their heads all the way around.
Who wouldn't like that deal?
The 4-for-4 with your choice of a Double Stack, Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, or Crispy Chicken BLT. A deal so great, it's impossibly good. But not for long.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time, meal includes full piece chicken nuggets, small fries, and a drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Tom Joyner in the morning. The Tom Joyner Morning Show. And everybody knows the song. 105.1.
Knight Pulliam is really mad at Ed Hartwell, huh? And he's behind on his child support, so she wants to have him arrested, so she filed charges.
That's true. Her Tyler Perry money might have ran out.
The Cosby Show. She's not getting any money from that
TV
anymore.
TV1's got the Cosby Show on.
Well, you know how long he been cut from football.
But he still got his NFL retirement.
And he has a girlfriend. Don't forget that. Monday from 6 to 9 a.m. on Hot 105, today's R&B and old school.
Welcome back to Hot Talk. Never miss an episode of Hot Talk with the Hot 105 app you can download now for Android and iPhone.
Oh, pirate.
it's yes, there are vibes. Stole life from the merging ship. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my head was made strong by the end of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I have, redemption song. Redemption song.
Yes, indeed, Miss Sheena O'Murray. Chris Polk on guitar. Polk on. I did it right. Chris Polk on guitar. Right here on Hot Talk. Welcome back. 888-550-9105. I'm sorry, the lines were closed on that last segment. But you can give us a call now and join the conversation. Again, that's 888-550-9105. So we're back, and guess who's back in the house? Well, let me first welcome back. Dwight was here. Where did he go? Where did Buller go? Oh, Dwight came back and redeemed himself and washed himself in the blood of Jesus and came back on the show. But Chris Norwood has been missing in action since the election.
Yep.
Welcome back, President, CEO, HNIC of Norwood Consulting Group.
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome back.
It's so good to be back.
You know, it's so good to see you. We missed you.
Mm-hmm.
After you ran for the bushes. So what was that about?
You know, you just have to regroup and think about life. And I went on a sojourn of recent, you know?
Yeah.
Traveled the world a little bit. Went to Egypt.
Nice.
Went to Israel. Went to Jordan.
Nice.
You know, and I came back a wazir now.
Mm-hmm. And is that like part of the confetti?
Yeah, well, the confetti. I mean, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm head of the Pharaoh's government right now.
Okay.
As soon as I find a Pharaoh, I'm gonna be
right,
the head of that
is
government.
Is this some new chapter of the Masons?
Yeah, that's what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was doing. You know what I mean? But I'm happy to be back.
Yes.
Always enjoy the conversation and, you know.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. And one of my dear friends, and we'll catch her every time she's in town, because her ministry is taking her all over the world, Miss Valencia Gunder. Make the homeless smile.
Oh, yeah. I need the mic, right?
You know.
I'm right here.
Right. You and Mr. Norwood will just share the mic. And AJ just knocked Jennifer straight out the chair.
Right.
If you all are watching us on Facebook Live, you just saw all of that. So how are you, Dal? Well, welcome.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
So listen, we've had many conversations, you and I, particularly right after that State of Black Miami, and about what's happening locally and, you know, nationally and worldwide. But, you know, and we have to, like, start at the top and kind of bring it, instead of starting at the bottom and going up, we're going the other way. So let's just go back for a time travel a little, back to November, because Hillary is now on the See What Had Happened Was tour. And she was on several things last week. I personally was a little offended at the thought that, you know, Hillary explaining how she felt about what happened is being taken, like she won't take responsibility for her campaign. Mm-hmm. Has anybody been paying attention to her?
Yes, mm-hmm. I have.
What? Okay, so Norwood.
Yeah, I'm going to get him the mic because I've been over her since 92.
She said I've been over her since 92.
See, we got to, you know, given that, you know, we represent the barbershop, we're just going to deal with mathematics.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Let's just talk about the money.
Yes.
All right? The man who beat Hillary Clinton as rich as he was, only raised about $350 million, Dwight.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton raised about $550 million. Mm-hmm. She got beat with less money. Okay?
Yeah.
That's number one. Number two, when Barack Obama ran for the president, he had $750 million. Mm-hmm. So we just got to sit back and respect what this man did. Like it, don't like it, live it.
Right.
If you want to deny it, deny it. He played us. He yes. didn't play me. He didn't play probably the people in this studio. He played the people who did not come out to vote. And many people who voted for him and thought they was going to get something different. And so we need to be focused not on his Twitter rants. We don't need to be focused on any of that. We need to be focused how we're going to get our problems together.
Yeah.
And so for instance, there are things happening in Florida right now. You know what I mean? You had the Florida executive director of the Florida Democratic Party say some nonsense. Democrats to Democrats. I'm going to let Dwight explain what exactly happened.
Oh, where is that?
Yeah.
Funny. So okay. The incident that's referring to is the president of the state Democratic Party said that working families and poor people vote based on emotions, more so the issues. And so...
One more time. Families and poor families.
Poor folks.
Right.
Poor folks.
Lower middle class and poor folks.
Yeah. Right. Poor folks vote more so based on emotion than issues.
Mm.
So, you know, we only vote because we mad or we happy or we sad, as opposed to being concerned about, I don't know, how to get
by. Do you find any truth in that?
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And she has since apologized for misspeaking, but it's one of those things where it's part of the larger issue around white privilege, right? I mean, let's just call it what it is.
Yes.
The assumption by white America, and we could talk about Bill Maher or anybody else, that it's okay for me to do or say certain things because I have the capacity or audacity to do so. And that's why I'm saying I'm not giving out any more invitations to the cookout. Because folks who think they for us aren't for us if they make mistakes and then try to come back and be like, oh, no, you know, I should get a pass because of X, Y, or Z.
Right. So you would have had more respect for Bill Maher if he had just said, this is the context in which I said that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and comedy aside, I get, you know, but my whole thing is like, just because you're hanging out with Snoop Dogg and smoking weed with whoever doesn't mean that you're...
You can drop.
You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, if the cops pull us over, the reason you're able to talk about marijuana use so live and in color, Bill Maher, is because guess what? People aren't trying to incarcerate people who look like you for doing it. You know what I'm saying? You've been able to do this to the point where you're almost, you know, 65-year-old white dude who can openly talk about smoking marijuana.
Right.
But Snoop Dogg has to be a card-carrying member of the medicinal world in order for folks to let that pass. And he's been, you know, he was first featured on an album called The Chronic. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, even though you know this is the conditions that we live in. And that's what I'm saying is white America, fix that. If you want to be my friend, fix that.
Yeah, right? and the fact that we're dealing in Florida with the fact that there will be legal marijuana dispensaries at some point.
No, but that,
and
but
people,
even that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And with that, you know, those who created the industry, as it were,
right,
will be doing time for crimes that will now be legal, and they will still be in jail.
Well, I just want to go back to this issue with the executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, because this is a point that your listeners need to know. This is the chief executive officer of Florida Democrats telling folk in a state where most black people are Democrats that issues don't matter, meaning that your issues don't matter.
Right.
Your issues don't matter. And so, again, my problem is not with Donald Trump. My problem is with that young lady who is from Idaho, just came here from Idaho. And that's a whole nother topic of why the chairman of our party, who was just elected, appointed someone from Idaho to be the executive director of the Florida Democratic Party. And then less than 3 months, 2 months, however many months later, she makes comments like that, sitting in a room in Broward County, the most Democratic county where there are poor people everywhere, mostly black and Hispanic, is going to sit there and say things like that. Those are the issues that we need to attack. Bill Maher, you know, God bless him. He's a multimillionaire. That one little bleep in saying something is going to take a lot to bring him down. And he should, you know, like I said, I don't think he was really truly apologetic because I don't think he believed he did anything wrong. But it's these local issues that are really killing us. And that's,
well, yeah, all politics, right, all politics is local. But, and so let's be honest about it. We have been having problems with the Democratic Party. We've been losing Democratic seats for 8 years prior to this election. So
1,000 seats in the last decade.
There we go. So there's been an erosion in the first place. Secondly, the Florida Democratic Party is like some foreign entity. I mean, quite frankly. And I don't think that there is no synergy there at all between the black community and the Florida Democratic Party. So when we talk about, you know, where do we start? Because 2018 is here, basically. We might as well just say it's already here. So now when we lick our wounds and like, okay, now what? Chris, I'll just leave that there.
For those who don't know, right, and this came out in the Miami Times, I'm a returning citizen, right, and I just got my rights to vote back just like a few months ago, mm-hmm. and it's been real hard for me to check off that Democratic
get her back closer to the
box because what's been going on. So I worked a lot around the election this past year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's better.
And just to see like the politics within the politics, it was completely ridiculous or whatnot. Like the most racist conversation and how they was treating individuals. Like if you were poor, if you were black, you were just like discounted when it came to the Democratic Party, at least from where I was sitting at. Mm-hmm. And it's completely a disgrace. And to see even how the party came after black politicians in this past election was ridiculous. Like the Florida Democratic Party just needs to like start over from scratch. Because they definitely
can we just go? Can we just go and be Republicans? Because I'm going to go and register to be a Republican.
And I'm going to take a call with that foolishness you just said.
No, seriously.
No, I'm seriously about to take
black
a call.
American. But I'll tell you why that's a good strategy, Dave.
Okay, hey, welcome to Hot Talk. Who's this? Dollar Bill.
Dollar Bill.
I name that voice in 2 seconds. What's up, Dollar Bill?
I have a distinct voice. First of all, Hillary Clinton beat herself, okay? Hillary Clinton is the reason why she's not president, okay?
Okay.
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 Now, let me say something else about Obama. Let me say something else about the people that was going around doing when Obama was president, the nation's first biracial president. It was 2 police officers in Broward County lost their job because of that, okay? They were inside the police station there, draw the picture of Obama throwing dots at him, put gold teeth on him.
Right.
It had put N-word up under him, so people were falling behind Obama, but maybe not as, not they didn't get a lot of publicity behind it. Okay, I can name several incidents where people got fired and lost their job behind doing racist things behind President Barack Obama, the nation's first biracial president. Next thing I want to say, black people are their own worst enemy. Nobody can beat the black people but the black people. Black people don't want to understand slavery. Okay, you understand 200 years of no reading and writing. Yes,
okay.
Hello?
Yes, no, we're here.
Okay, and now here's what I want to say. As long as black people think from white people may hate you, how ignorant can you be?
Okay, but
if you believe in the Bible, just listen to the Bible telling you everything to do with the black people, like they can't grasp it. Put no other God before me. Hello? I am a jealous God. I made you in my likeness, okay? When you come to me for a blessing in your prayer, come with the right arm on. What is that right arm? I keep telling the black people. Texture of hair, okay? That's not a joke.
I knew it. I was like, how are we going to get to the hair? I knew it. Wait.
Y'all won't let nobody feel. Soon you hear something you don't like, you'll cut it off.
No, we were just waiting for you to get to the hair because every...
Why would I make all those racists and then talk about to make get one lap and get them all straight out? Why would I do that?
Okay.
He might have a point.
It does make a difference. First of all,
he said he might have a point.
Can do the TV got antenna. Your brain has a Pacific tech. You have that same antenna. Come to me when you come to me for a blessing. Have so the right armor on. Black people being disconnected regardless of what I'm telling you. The slave master did it. Now here comes slave master Junior, and here comes Diana Ross. Here comes slave master Junior. It's Serena Williams.
Okay.
First of all, you're gonna race me. You got to get the right people to be responsible as well. They got to be responsible for co-parent. Okay, money to raise a kid.
Okay. I can't. I was trying to. Dollar Bill, I was really trying to get you to take a breath and breathe. He went from Hillary to Diana Ross to Alicia Keys to.
I want you to know. Slave Master Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
He said Slave Master Jr.
Y'all pissed him off today.
And if you don't like it, you can just hang it up.
Chris, yeah. You're right.
So
Dollar Bill, we love you, but you got to be, it's got to be coherent where we can follow you, babe.
So you asked where do we go from here? And in 2018, Donald Trump is not going to be on the ballot. And so I'm not concerned about Donald Trump. I'm not concerned about Barack Obama. And I'm not concerned about Hillary Clinton. We need to get that out of our minds. Barack Obama is chilling.
Nobody's,
with a great pension and building a library in Chicago.
Right.
So that's over and done. We need to talk about the future.
I know that, but
Donald Trump is not the issue in 2018. So what we need to be focused on is state Senate races in 2018 in Mini-District in Dade County and Broward, the governor's race.
Mm-hmm.
There's an outstanding individual running for that seat. You need to know who he is, know what he's about. It's not about his blackness. It's about he's ready to go. I've known Andrew Gillum for over 14 years. I'm sure Dwight has known him just as long. Andrew has been engaged in issues around this country to motivate young people. So then you also have the CFO race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you also have the attorney general's race. And then you also have the agriculture commissioner's race. These four people run our state. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. So we have education that we have to do to our own people. Now, Florida is the only state in the United States of America where the governor does not have exclusive executive power. We have four people that run our state, and it's called the Florida Cabinet.
Right.
And these other three people have agencies that they run. And as a group, they have about 14 agencies that they run as a group, including the Florida Clemency Board. So in most states, the governor can provide clemency, just like on the presidential level. For federal crimes and state crimes, the president can pardon people. In Florida, the governor can't pardon nobody. The cabinet does
the
as
cabinet
a clemency
does
board.
That. Okay.
And that goes back to Black Reconstruction, the fact that we even have a cabinet, because it was created during Reconstruction to dilute Black power. That's a fact.
Well, it's been effective.
I'm going to let my historian, Dwight Bullard, build on that, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
barbershop
it worked.
Time. Let's
yeah.
go.
I'm at the barbershop, too. I got a cut.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean,
I got a straight raise over here.
To piggyback on what Chris is talking about, the reality is that folks, you know, they want to be about these movements. They want to post Stay Woke and all these other things.
Right.
The reality is if you're not reading up on what you're supposed to do, if you have no clue as to what you're supposed to do
to get
involved, then the reality is that nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to change. Right.
Right?
So, you know, we're in the process. Myself, V, Chris, several of us are part of these organizations trying to get 700,000 petitions gathered to give rights back to returning citizens, to the formerly incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We got folks walking around who haven't signed one yet. You know what I mean? And they're claiming to be activists. They're claiming to be about the business of the people. But then they don't know, or they don't ask, or they claim ignorance. And then when we're falling short, when somehow in a state of 19.5 million people, we can't get to that 700,000 threshold.
Right.
When we know we have more, where we could just do it just in the Black community alone, there's the inherent challenge, right? Is like, we keep doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. If I gotta go hard on it, I'm gonna make it look sexy. Right, that's it. How do we make it look sexy? I mean, because honestly,
at some point, I mean, I think we're just in a place now where everybody kind of gets it. I mean, you know, the old men sitting on the stoop outside of, you know, pick a convenience store have been talking about it for quite some time now, and now it's kind of proliferating through people. They see it, they hear all the, you know, crazy stuff that Obama's doing. Sort of, I mean, not Jesus.
Forty-five
is
Obama's
doing.
Still president. He's definitely woke. He's helped people become more awake.
Well, see, okay, so here's my thing with
changes.
That. So we were all really excited and motivated and all in the energy, you know, moving the Obamas into the White House. And I feel like after he was in the first election, it was like, okay, we will see you all in 3 years. And they went about the business of government, and then they came back, hey, let's make it happen. We made it happen again. Boom. And then it was just like, okay, talk amongst yourselves. And there was the momentum that the community had just went nowhere. It just dissipated, and now people are like, well, I did all of that, and what happened?
Well, that's because people were confused with the what's next, right? When you say hope and change, what does that mean?
What did it mean?
What does it mean in terms of tangible things? Same thing with 45, right? 45 is literally embarrassing us as a country, right?
I mean, all over the
you
world.
You have the French president clapping at him. Mm-hmm. You got the Russians clapping at him. You got everybody just taking us for boo-boo the fool.
Yeah.
And somehow folks don't get that. Like, our standing in the world, they assume because he's this A-type personality and that he's a quote-unquote man's man, that means something. And what I'm trying to tell you is when you start to see our credit rating drop as a country.
Right.
Because folks don't understand that. As a country, we have to maintain an international credit rating in order for our economy to stabilize and be stable. But when people don't trust us,
right,
and the person making the decision at the head of the country, then guess what? Your credit rating goes in the toilet. More importantly, you're perceived as weak. And as much as for somebody who doesn't like to be perceived as weak, he is the weakest, most petulant individual that you're ever going to meet. Because you're overly sensitive about
everything.
Including, I don't know if you remember when he gripped up the Prime Minister of Montenegro because he was walking five steps in front of him and thought that was, oh, I got to be here for this picture. How about you be here for an actual decision making?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the newly elected president of France, who I love his story to death.
And his wife.
His wife, who's like his teacher, 20 years age difference.
He just married
the love of his life, and all of a sudden he's the new president, is now basically saying, how about this? How about we try to make the world great again?
Thank you.
Because you right here.
He dropped the mic on America.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're about to take the Statue of Liberty back. Remember?
Right. I'm going to need that back from you all.
But sometimes we just got to let it go, man. Like, Trump paid for the presidency. He paid $66 million. He bought it on the cheap. He bought it for $66 million, raised another $280 million. He only raised $340-350 million against Hillary, who had $200 million more than him. He bought it and got it on the cheap, and he did it because of these sort of things. Because they create news, he's getting free media from it all day long. We need to get off of it. Forget about Trump. That's the best thing we can do about trying to elevate our own party to elevate itself to move on. This man is going to do what he's going to do. He has control. And they have the House and the Senate. They have control of the government.
And they still can't do nothing. Valencia, they have the House and the Senate, and they still cannot pass a simple, just not nothing.
So, Valencia. I'm kind of going with my brother here in the barbershop. It's like my mindset lately has, you know, fix my block first before I could fix the world. And,
right.
You know, we have an election in the city of Miami coming up in this November 17, like not even 2018.
Right, we do.
2017, and we have a special election coming up in, what, in like 2 months?
Mm-hmm.
SD40, where they need to make sure they elect the right person because this guy was completely out of control. So I know 45 is a piece of work, right? And, I mean, my life ain't changed now. since he's been
Well, you know what? I remember last year sometime, right around this time, Musa Deek was on, and we were talking about politics, and he was like, you know, it don't matter who's going to be in the White House, because I'm going to be all right. You know, and we are, there is a level of like, it really, that really doesn't matter, because, yeah, our hustle still goes on, you know.
Right, because we're going to, you know, still be going through...
However, at the same time, I don't think, I know certainly not in my lifetime, have we been living through something this vital where they are between him and Jeff Sessions and the generals are really decimating things that are core to American values. Coming up over midnight, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more. What did you want to say?
I'll say it's called the Clinton administration, but I'm going to hush.
Ooh, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Go get a drink. You're going to need it for Hot Talk After Midnight on Hot 105.
There's never been a better time to visit Hair Cuttery. Right now, first-time guests get a shampoo and cut for just $14.99 any day of the week. And Monday through Wednesday, first-time color guests get 50% off any color service. Only at Hair Cuttery. Getting the look you'll love has never been more attractive. These offers won't last forever, so don't miss out. Just walk in or make an appointment. Hair Cuttery. Smile. Guaranteed. These offers are not available with master stylists.
Have you shared a little sunshine lately? You can share it virtually by tagging your social posts with hashtag LoveFL. Or you can share it in reality by inviting friends and family down for a visit to catch some rays with you. It not only brings smiles to their faces, it helps our state's economy. So invite someone you know to Florida and help our state stay sunny. This message sponsored by Visit Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Ride down the street, you're doing your thing. You feeling good, you're flexing, man. And the car swerve up by they lane. Call 1-800-411-PAIN. Call 1-800-411-PAIN. Let me get you them vaccines so you can make that money.
Make that money, right?
See all the funds, they may not treat you the same. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-411-PAIN.
I just got in an accident. Can't lie, it got me stressing. Hit a 411 pain and can't deny it was a blessing. They handle business, got me a turning, might get some stacks back. You get into a wreck, a call, you should make that.
Call 1-800-411-PAIN. Let me get you them vaccines so you can make that money right. The other phone, they may not treat you the same. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-411-PAIN.
Car accident, remember, after 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. Legal and medical referral service. Non-employees, phone first.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black movement.
Wait, you don't have to wait. Thanks to Easy Match from the Florida Lottery, you have the chance to win right now on Fantasy 5 and Lucky Money. For just an extra buck, add Easy Match to your Fantasy 5 or Lucky Money ticket, and you could win up to $500 instantly. But don't wait. Head to your nearest Florida Lottery retailer and play Fantasy 5 or Lucky Money with Easy Match today. The Florida Lottery. Just imagine. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
It's the perfect day. You're just driving along, listening to your favorite music, the windows down. There's a cool breeze. Life is good. But wait, hold on a second. You're not wearing a seatbelt? You'd better put that on before that... Oh, too late. Cops everywhere are stepping up enforcement, so you'd better buckle up or you will get caught. Sorry to ruin your day. Click it or ticket. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Drag Rat
is the life of a ghetto you tour.
Starring Sizzler Kalonji.
Saturday, June 10th at the Central Broward Stadium.
Also live performances by Rosh Shiloh,
Pressure,
Marlon Asher,
and Isaac King.
Showtime 4 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Pre-sold tickets $35.
$45 at the gate.
For VIP tables or VIP ticket info,
contact 561-657-6225.
The life of a ghetto you tour.
Saturday, June 10th
at the Central Broward Stadium.
3700 Northwest 11th. Place in
Lauderhill. After party at the Garden.
Luigi.
Norwegian Cruise Line has ships sailing year-round from Miami, so book now and find out what it means to feel free. Norwegian Cruise Line. Feel free.
You're listening to WHQT Coral Gables, Miami's Hot 105, a Cox Media Group station.
Yeah.
Are you stuck with a low credit score? A credit report and score that's causing you to be denied credit or pay higher interest rates than others for the same things? Then do what Terrence did and call the experts at CreditRepair.com for your free credit evaluation and game plan to help restore your credit.
I started thinking about buying a new house and my score wasn't where I needed it to be. I called and spoke with one of the representatives and just had a good conversation and I liked what he was saying.
Just one call for his free credit evaluation was all it took.
I'm seeing the deletions and I'm getting the report, so I know something's being done. It does make a difference to me.
At CreditRepair.com, dreams do happen.
Thanks to CreditRepair.com, I will be able to have a better credit score and get that house.
Don't let a low credit score hold you back another day. Do what Terrence did and make the call for your free credit evaluation and game plan to help get back on track to great credit.
Call 800-708-1401. 800-708-1401. 800-708-1401.
Welcome back to Hot Talk. And now, please welcome Sheena O'Murray, accompanied on guitar by Chris Pope.
You think I'd leave your side, baby? You know me better than that. You think I'll leave you down on your knees? I wouldn't do that. I'll tell you when you're right, when you won't. If only you could see into me. Oh, when you're low, I'll be there. Hold you tight to me. When you're on the outside, baby, and you can't get in, I'll show you you're so much better than you know. When you're lost and you're alone and you can't get back again, I'll find you, darling, and I'll bring you home. And if you want to cry, I am there to try your eyes. And in no time, you'll be fine.
Your views matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
And welcome back. Sheena O'Murray, yes indeed, in the studio. Along with Chris Polk on guitar. Thank you so much for joining us. Hot Talk after midnight. 888-550-9105. You can give us a call. Dollar Bill called back and he said that he wanted you all to know that, you know, basically he's saying that, you know, you can't get to heaven if you don't have pride in your nappy hair. That's basically his thesis. What? Right. You will not get to heaven if you do not have pride in your nappy hair. So I assured him that we all have pride in our nappy hair. Here in this room. Let me take a call before we jump back in our conversation. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Who's this? Hello?
Manuel?
Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Who's this?
This is Manuel.
Manuel, hey, how are you?
If I was any better, I'd kiss myself.
There you go. We all, we'll send you some too. What's happening?
Well, you know, you were talking about the Democratic Party. I don't know if you've gone past that subject, but
no, we're picking it back up now.
Okay, yeah, Brother Dwight, I know him, and he hit on a few topics that I want to kind of piggyback off of.
Mm-hmm. Brother Dwight, can you hear him?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Manuel.
Oh, well, I'm always incensed by when the liberal Northeast Democrat that's good on every issue, you can name them, pop, 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 but as soon as it comes to problems that are structural to black folks, people of color, it's always some uncomfortability, and it always ends up with education and make more money. And let's just be honest. You could be a billionaire in America and be black, and you're still basically a second-class citizen. As Tiger Woods, he showed his face, as these people that have all this money and all this education and all this influence, you still have that problem. So when I hear liberals in my party always go to that answer, it almost makes me throw up, because that is not the structural problem that we need to be talking about to get fixed. That is the incarceration, where we are 30% of the population and almost 50% of the people in jail.
Right.
And not just that. I mean, think about a young man that commits a young person mistake, and all of a sudden, instead of getting a ticket, they get a felony. Now they can, in this country, unfortunately, a felony makes you almost unemployable to any gainful employment unless you own your own business, because that's the only way to get by. So it pains me to say it, but I am just tired of hearing people in my party that are right on every issue except that.
Mm.
And I think my brother, a bullet, can co-sign on for me, and I'll listen off air.
Thank you, Manuel. Brother Bullet.
Thank you, Manuel. I'm co-signing. I'm co-signing 127%.
You know, there was, he set us up perfectly for our next topic, of course, which was LeBron James. And I don't know if I was trying to find the clean version of Paul Mooney's N-word. I'll go with you all. N-word wake-up call. And I mean, if you've ever seen the stand, if you've seen him do that stand-up piece, comedian Paul Mooney has a piece called the N-word wake-up call. Everybody gets theirs. Michael Jordan got his. Michael Jackson got his. And LeBron James got his. This past week, was it Friday, that somebody spray-painted the N-word on his Bel Air home, and he addressed the issue over the weekend during, of course, the All-Star game. Brother Buller.
No, I appreciate LeBron's. LeBron has always been good about putting stuff in historical context.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he said was, it doesn't matter how much money I make or how many commercials I do, I'm still going to be the N-word in America. But what I want to talk about is that Jason Whitlock coonery and buffoonery.
That's what I want to talk about.
The ESPN commentator, or the Fox Sports News commentator, who Charlemagne's been making dunky today.
Listen, Charlemagne has ripped him a new one. Oh, my God.
But basically, the context was that anyone who's black and rich should stop complaining about racism, because somehow racism and wealth are mutually exclusive. You know, that racism stops the second you clear your first million. And so LeBron complained about that. He shouldn't have complained about that. Or, you know, and
but
so
his argument is debunked, though. Whitlock's argument has no weight to it because the fact does remain that people who are wealthy and black still have things that are racist.
Oh, no, but that's the whole thing. He's saying Oprah shouldn't complain. He's saying Oprah with the Hermes
makes no
complain.
Sense.
He's saying Serena
in the shoe store.
He makes zero sense. And that's why, you know, he's been getting clowned as sort of carrying the water for the white man.
He's a black man on national TV.
Well, yeah, that's what
he's platform to. But when you use your platform like that, that's dangerous, Joe. And that's the reality, is that, you know, for all I remember watching the documentary on Step and Fetch It,
mm-hmm.
and on Bill Bojangles Robinson, and these were early black pioneers in the movies, right? Who basically were intelligent, articulate, well-spoken actors who had to play these coonery roles in television or on movies.
Mm-hmm.
In order to find, you know, their station in life. And the idea that somebody in 2017 can get on national television and make those kinds of inane, stupid statements, talk about racism somehow dies when you clear seven figures, is a problem.
But do you, I mean, but is that a surprise?
It's
a bunch of them out there.
No.
It's bunch of them. Music, politics, sports, it's a bunch of them.
I think it's always surprising, though. I think it's surprising because, in light of what our in light of what our political and our racial climate has always been,
mm-hmm.
to me it's surprising. You know, even though we shouldn't be surprised that they're going to be people like this, but unfortunately, it does become surprising because I watched the brother make these statements, and I'm looking at him, and I'm watching the replay, and I'm like, where can you possibly be pulling this logic from? Because it doesn't make any sense what you're saying. And it just floors. It just floors me.
You know, Jill, I was watching this incredible epic story today. It's a movie by Danny DeVito. Produced. It's called How High, with Redman and Method Man.
That's silly. I knew you were going there.
And there's a black character
in
that
movie. Colin.
The gentleman who worked for the university, and when Red and Meth got into Harvard,
right.
He was the dean of students, the black guy
at Harvard,
who really didn't want Red and Meth there,
right?
You know, because he had become acclimated to this Ivy lifestyle, and apparently he hated his people,
mm-hmm.
until they got him to do some brownies to get some weed in him,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden his blackness came out. I think we have this issue within our community always. It's always going to be somebody who acts like they ain't black and acts like wealth or anything stops racism from happening. You know, it's just stupid. We can't change our last names and blend in as some people
have been able to assimilate.
We are a different shade of human being. So if there is racism, it is a visual thing, right? It doesn't matter how you talk. It doesn't matter your academic credentials.
Right.
It doesn't matter. What matters is how you look. If racism exists. Now, if you want to say racism doesn't exist, then that's a whole nother topic. But it doesn't matter. You know, when a police officer pulls you over, your money, how much money you make, it may be displayed in your car, it may not be. But it doesn't matter. If they are racially profiling you, they are racially profiling you. So it's just stupid.
Valencia.
So I have family who lives like in Miramar and gated communities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I don't think none of them, maybe one or two of them, maybe making seven figures, but they're doing all right, right?
Right.
And for a minute, when they first started moving out there, maybe like 10 years ago, you know, when black people was like flooding that West Miramar area.
Right.
You know, it's just like, I'm living in my gated community. I'm doing better than the next. I'm good out here until your child is continuously pulled over by the security in your gated community because they black and they walk out the street. Or your child is having a pool party and the police officer should dish rag her in her bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Or the fact that I have an uncle who pays mortgage and HOA fees, and the police has tased him twice in his gated community. So I think people just have, I just use my family as an example because I love them, and I'm just, you know, using this platform to tell the story.
Right.
But, you know, it's my good friend Trick Daddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite songs of his, America.
Pastor Trick Daddy.
Trick Daddy.
Right.
He's like, in the Benz, you a
right.
You know, no matter what you try to do, like, I don't understand the logic of anybody trying to make it seem like, oh, if you're this, if you do that. Like, it was this video going around, like, this guy was teaching his sons how to dress a certain way and talk a certain way so the police wouldn't bother them. Like, bruh, what rock you living under? Or what rock somebody hit you across the head with? But well, you even come up with that.
Well, you know, I mean, we have, I mean, you know, we say that, we're generous with dollar bill, but dollar bill, we completely get you. I get the whole, you know, your thesis behind our nappy hair and us being accepting of ourselves. But I think that one of the biggest problems that we have, really, and you know, to your point, Chris, is that most of the problems that we have in our community are. We've done to ourselves. We are still doing to ourselves. I was reading. Somebody sent me the piece on because it's what is it? Almost 100 anniversary of Tulsa being burned to the ground, and so it is. You know, there's a bigger picture of what America has done to the black community. But a lot of the wounds we are now self-inflicting on each other. So in order to, like, we can't look outside of us to change that. So when, you know, Chris and I are talking about, you know, we got a lot of, and I don't know if you all caught the references between me and Dwight to DNA. Kendrick Lamar, if you haven't heard it, go listen to it, because that is it. That's the problem in our community. You got some that just have that. What was Samuel Jackson's character in Candyland? I mean, in Django, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
He exists in our community, like for real, for real.
Well, and the beautiful thing about this thing with LeBron is also his response. I think the
was
response
spot on.
Was spot on. And let me tell you, there's so many athletes that. I don't want them to talk on behalf of the black community because of the nonsense that come out of their mouths. But when LeBron said what he said, I felt proud that this man is representing that issue at this moment in time as someone who has been a victim of a hate crime. He is a victim
of a hate crime.
A hate crime.
Period.
And his response to it was extraordinary. But to your point, about how we need to focus on our own, even within the conversation we were having within the Democratic Party. You know, I began to try to create some awareness around this issue about the fact that our Florida Democratic Party is operating on a planet that none of us has been to except for a couple of people who smoke that good stuff.
Right.
And so,
Stinky Iggy.
Right. And so we've been trying to create an awareness campaign called the Independent Democrats for Florida. People who are not leaving the party, but people who understand they can't be led by this corporation called the Florida Democratic Party, and that we vote Democratic, but we need to have a parallel movement and deal with issues in our community, as well as focus on the campaigns and the messaging that needs to be behind those campaigns as well.
Well, you know who had a very interesting...
Hashtag ID Florida.
There you go. conversation on that was oh my goodness, his name is escaping me. David Banner. I interviewed him last year, like right before the election, and we talked about how there needs to be a third, you know, we need to go independent. He was like, you know, the greatest thing that could have happened is if, you know, the black diaspora and people, black and brown people, got together and voted a slate, just take ourselves out of the Democratic Party and that process to show the value of the vote. His concern is that the Democratic Party no longer holds the value to our vote, and they know that they can just come get it at any time. They can ignore us for 3.5 years and then show up with a few checks, some chicken wings, and, you know, we're going to show up at the polls. Take souls to the polls on Sunday.
Well, oddly enough, that's becoming a false narrative, and here's the reason why, right? So... in order for Democrats to win, they assume that 93% or more of black people are going to go vote for them.
Right.
The challenge that they faced over the last decade is that we're not. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because that's
not,
why they're losing all of
yeah,
them.
Right. We're not as easily responsive. So I want you to think about this. Like, every Democratic, quote unquote Democratic seat, whether it's a Broward County municipal election or a state rep or a congressperson, assumes that even if they have 5, 6, 7% black people in their district, that 95, 100% of those black folks are just going to up, leave their church, and go vote for the person with the big D next to their name.
Right.
And the reason there's such an imbalance right now is that you have that going on, is that people are unmoved by that. So not it's yet. Like, how do we re-harness that energy?
Right.
It's not necessarily in a complete separation of detachment, but it really boils down to, A, black folks understanding their value now, right? Getting over your own psychosis.
Right.
An assumption that you know, your vote doesn't matter. Secondarily, those folks who are now listening, you know what I'm saying, and have to be aware that even if you only have 10% black people in your area, that guess what? They're not going to come when you snap your fingers at the beck and call.
Right.
And you can't send some validator or so-called black whisperer out there to go get them.
Right.
Who is
the black whisperer now?
And you know what I'm saying? And go snatch those votes up. It doesn't work that way anymore. Folks ain't moving in that direction. And Miami Beach going to have to find out as it pertains to Urban Beach Week, right?
My goodness.
The reality is that, guess what? When we take our $600 bottle of Hennessy money to another part of the country or world,
Vegas,
they value us.
Yeah.
You're going to see. You're going to see.
You're
going to learn, babe.
You know.
You're gonna learn today.
I saw that little piece. On Facebook, your memories pop up. 2012, I posted. They don't want us on South Beach no more. But just wait for it. Las Vegas. Here we are. Everybody went to Vegas. This started 5 years ago when all of the celebrity parties started leaving. All celebrities started leaving Thursday and going. They would come here for Tuesday, Wednesday, and then go to Vegas for Friday. And now it's all about Vegas because Vegas can absorb all of us.
Yeah.
And it's like, please come bring all your money and all your stuff.
That's every
city. We got
city.
Plenty, yeah.
New Orleans does it. And me and Vito
exactly.
All too well because we went to FAMU, right?
Yeah.
When the Classic left Tampa.
We're coming down.
And with Orlando, Tampa been trying to get it back.
Ever since.
They just got a Classic back this year.
Well, you
after 10 years without it.
You saw William Levine on the morning shows today going like, hey, no, we really, that commissioner, I don't know what he's talking about. We really want black people. Urban Black Beach is welcome. And I'm sitting there going, I cannot wait to talk to Chris. Because we were on that committee. Chris and I, with Henry Creswell, sat on the very first urban, what was it?
Miami Beach Black Host Committee created in 2003.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to like, okay, we don't know what to do. We need some black people
we
like.
We had a friendly mayor and David Dermer.
Right. Shout out to David Dermer. You know, we need to know what to do. This year, I won't say no name. They shall remain. Listen, the name of my podcast is going to be called "They Shall Remain Nameless." So they shall remain nameless. The black people who were paid to find other places to host events for black people during Black Beach Week so they would not be on the beach. There was, now somebody swore me up and down that it's not true that 14,000 rooms were booked and given to veterans, et cetera, et cetera, so there would not be any inventory on the beach. I'm just saying. They shall remain nameless until
let me say something. As a resident who lives on Miami Beach, right? So it's funny,
Jennifer,
because like I used to fly here to come here for Memorial Day 2 years previous to moving to Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the first year I spent 2012, I moved to Miami and I stayed for Urban Beach Week, and I was like, now as a local, I understood what the whole hoopla was about of why people didn't want it there. But as a local of the beach, people don't want just that there. They don't want a lot of that stuff there.
Yeah,
right?
Well,
I mean, it just takes over our entire neighborhood and displaces us. And
well,
so it's
everything. I lived on the beach from, I don't know, 88 to 2010. something like that. And yes, I will admit that the first time I woke up to walk Princess and there was an old English bottle on my grass, I thought, well, we may have hit that time.
Can I get a rest? This is different.
It might be time for me to go. Yeah. But in terms of what, you know, it takes Lewis Oliver to really tell the story because, and Peter Thomas. Mm-hmm. Okay, can we get into that conversation for 2 seconds? Everybody was like, okay, why don't you say something? Because I'm really the only person that worked for both Luke and Peter Thomas and was in the middle of that whole story. So it is true, yes, Peter Thomas was the first one to bring black folks over to that beach in those kind of numbers. Peter Thomas invited, I hosted a party for Peter Thomas for Muhammad Ali at Fifth Street, and I invited Luther Campbell, and that was the first time that whole troika got together. So yes, Luke was the first one to kind of bring all these acts to Miami, but yeah, Peter Thomas honestly was the first one to bring black folks to the beach like that, and nobody thought it was, you know, it was gonna work. And then it was just like, because that first year it was like, oh, they're not going to, just like Freaknik in Atlanta. They're like, oh, it's not going to be that many black people. And then, poof, we like, you know.
That first Memorial Day weekend, if I remember correctly, it was Urban Fashion Week,
That Lewis Oliver
had
we did a fashion show. I did a big girl fashion show.
And it was only 5,000 unique visitors. They said the next year.
And
it was so cool to laid back.
It was so cool. Yeah.
That the next year, it was monotony. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I can tell you this. The progress that we did with David Dermer was lost.
It was
very much lost. And Philip Levine, who is trying to run for governor, right? This guy is talking about running for governor, but is basically scaring black folk away from Miami Beach.
Well, somebody must have told him because he was really up on NBC 6 this morning talking about, please, black people, please come back to the beach. We'll talk about that and more on the other side. Callers, we're coming to you. Just hang on there. I am Jill Tracy. This is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
For 32 years, after a long day at work, on the drive home relaxing, on date night to set the mood, or in bed with your boo, one familiar voice has been with you, playing your favorite songs to make it right.
Hey, love, this is Freddie Cruz on The Quiet Storm on Hot 105. It's music for lovers all night long. Music that sparks the magic of romance. Turn it on.
Night 7 to midnight on Hot 105.
Responsible for the population boom in South Florida.
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black Movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black Movement.
Tom Joyner in the morning, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and everybody knows it's on 105.1.
Night Pulliam is really mad at Ed Hartwell, huh? And he's behind on his child support, so she wants to have him arrested, so she filed charges.
That's true. Her Tyler Perry money might have ran out.
The Cosby Show. She's not getting any money from that
TV
anymore.
TV1's got the Cosby Show on.
Well, you know how long he been cut from football. So
but he still got his NFL retirement.
And he has a girlfriend. Don't forget that. Monday from 6 to 9 a.m. on Hot 105. Today's R&B and old school.
And we're back on Hot Talk 88559105. There we go.
This feels like a dream. This reality. Wish that I could wake up from this nightmare that I'm living. Want this to be over. I'm dying to be free. Wish that I wasn't so deep in. Please just let me be. I'm in prison by your love, and I'm sentenced to life. And I don't wanna be without you, but I want you out my life. This up and down, this merry-go-round, I'm dizzy, my head's spinning. But I'm wanna high, don't really wanna get down. Said I'm on a high, don't really wanna get down.
Yes, indeed.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105.
Yeah.
And now, back to Hot Talk.
Thank you. And thank you, Jen. She's got to make that move. Sex therapist Jen has her early call in the morning.
I'm not going to get into that.
But thank you for joining us, as always. Okay, yeah. Did anybody see this cover of the Herald? About the renovations of the town park north, you saw those pieces. So listen, I knew it was coming that they were coming for Keon. It was only a matter of time. It was just way too much good stuff happening at that Overtown CRA and
Southeast Park,
Park West. Overtown, yeah. So for those of you who did not see this turn, roaches, rats, and tax dollars. A bungled rehab in Overtown, and basically it is ripping that whole organization to shreds. And there is this website, Armitas. Have you all been on that site? Do you know who these people are?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that should be clarified. About that situation, just from background, the CRA is governed by the city commission,
right?
And that means that every city commissioner is responsible for what happens at the CRA.
Mm-hmm.
And so to focus on Keon Hardeman and whatever the story is trying to say, I think is somewhat disingenuous. Because he is a member, he is the chairman,
mm-hmm.
but there are other elected officials that are duly elected, responsible, making a salary as a commissioner, and I'm not trying to say that anybody is wrong or whatever, I don't know what the situation is, but to attack Keon for an agency that has five commissioners on it seems a little bit crazy to me.
Okay. But doesn't it seem a little bit familiar to you as well? I mean, this always happens. The young gun politician doing great things in his community. Everybody loves him. He's, you know, winning more awards and, you know, making movement, making things happen. And, you know, he's got love in the streets and the suites. And then all of a sudden, poof, just drip, 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 drip. You know, they start coming for him. And now, you know, and now it's happening to Keon.
So,
Valencia,
I'm going to spill just a little bit of tea.
So I got a cup here.
So, with the whole situation, as most people probably know or don't know, I do a lot of work in Liberty City, Overtown, Little Haiti, or whatever, which those three neighborhoods fall right into Commissioner Hardeman's district.
Right.
And as I hear things on the ground, you know, you always gonna have mixed reviews, and you can't ever make everybody happy.
Nope.
But what I started understanding is that you had these group of people who, for months now, have been moving around and have been very, very, very messy. To the fact that they even came to me and asked me to run against him. Yep, that tea.
Mm.
And I told them no because I know how they play.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're going to try to split the black vote and then throw a Hispanic in there and then
we
lose our district. And then I support Commissioner Hardeman as an individual, right? A black millennial who doing this thing.
Right.
I just want to say this. it is disheartening to know that that website you're talking about, mm-hmm. It has a black face.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue to say just
again,
a black face. But it's...
Same thing we're talking about.
I don't know who all worked in politics in here before, but y'all know how it'll have a black face, but a white check.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going on. His people over there at Legion Park, over there by the bay.
Yeah.
I went to a few of their community meetings where the commissioner was there, and the only thing they didn't use was the N-word. He was every racist slur and everything. They wouldn't let him talk, and they was disrespecting him on a whole nother level. I've never seen a community meeting like that ever held before ever in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that it's a lot of people coming for him,
mm-hmm.
and it's for personal reasons. So I just want the residents to understand, like, just do your research for yourself. See what he did for you, and if you appreciate what his work or you agree with his politics, if you don't, do what you need to do, but don't let these outside influences, like, deter you from voting for him or supporting him, because they don't mean you no good either, because these are the same people who called the Haitians dirty and said that they need to be deported. These are the same people who don't want black people coming to their park that sits off the bay. These are the same people. So I just want people to understand that this is a whole, like, a big machine.
Well, it's a playbook.
Right. And, I mean, I was still in Tallahassee when everything was going down with our buddy Spence Jones when she was in office, and mm-hmm. I understand they came for her, and mm-hmm. I understand they came for Commissioner Till. Like,
right.
Like any,
and Commissioner Dawkins.
Right, and Commissioner Dawkins.
Right. Listen, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a playbook. I can, you know, I can, what was Kwame? And you know, you could name a city, name a politician.
Jill.
Yes.
And, you know, and look, Keon is a friend. His family's a friend. Family are
friends. Yeah.
His wife is a friend.
Yes.
You know, this is a bad story. I'm not seeing all the signs. Like, this is, to me, this is a bad story that, you know, has bubbled up, perhaps. But you cannot walk through Overtown today and look at what's happening there and not say, wow, this is a great things happening here.
Right.
So, so if the Herald wants to write a story that is somewhat, I don't see the plot. I mean, I saw the plot with some of these others.
You don't see the
plot? I don't see a plot. I don't see how you can have a plot when the good things that he
I think he's saying he
done,
doesn't see a basis for their story.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because I see the plot.
Oh, but what I'm saying is, what
the
is happening in Overtown is so in-your-face progressive,
right,
in my view, that I don't see what, you know, it's a bad story. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I really don't see the conspiracy yet. Maybe there is a conspiracy.
But
I don't see it yet.
But this is what I'm saying. We don't want to wait until it is just like smacked us in the face where we can't do anything about it. This is straight out of the playbook.
It happens in every city, every town. But what are we saying? Are we saying that that story is a lie? Are we saying that?
What I'm saying is that what happens is we go in, we do the regentrification. We, you know, come in and do all the dirty work. And then that area becomes notable, and now everybody wants a piece of it. And now how are we going to get it
right
back?
By beginning
so
to discredit.
So in order to get it back, we've got to discredit everybody. I mean, it's Trump. Oh, my God. That's how he got in office, that everybody's against you. He got his base and said, everybody outside of this base is not American, and we are gonna make America black again. You know, black again. That's my subconscious working on y'all.
I think his good work is so above and beyond what we are used to that
Kwame Kilpatrick.
You know, I can't. That's a whole other situation now. You know,
but the remnants are the same.
We can all have different viewpoints.
Right.
I just don't see the reason to call out, you know, the drop squad yet.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think. No. Don't get me wrong. But that's why we are saying the same thing. This has got to grab. This has got to grab your attention now. Do you know what I'm saying? You got to stop this before this cancer spreads. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Broadway.
Can I say
Broadway's been so quiet in the building tonight.
Mr. Broadway.
Uh-huh.
I want to say this.
We'll get you caller.
And the fact that I work so, like, deep on the ground or whatnot, because I listen to residents and I hear residents or whatnot, they listening to these stories.
Right.
So if it's conspiracy or not, the people are feeling it.
And
like,
look.
People are believing it. And that's going to be the issue. Right. Like, I know us as people who know about, like, building a community and things like that, we could walk through Overtown, because I go to Overtown almost every day myself, right? And I see all this great things and whatnot, but the average voter in his district, they not seeing it the way we're seeing
it.
They're looking
at
what the Miami Herald was putting out and what these little fake articles are putting out or whatever, and that's what they're listening to. So my only advice would be is that we need to do some damage control right now before it gets to that bigger level. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk. Who's this?
Albert.
You'd be surprised. Hello?
Yeah, this is Brother Albert.
Hey, Brother Al. How are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
Good. Bless
you. You have a very juicy program tonight.
Yes, indeed.
And I got my cup filling up with tea also.
Okay.
Brother Chris and all you brothers and sisters on there that sharing this information, thank you so very much. Because I'm one that is not aware of a lot of things, the politicians that control us and call the shots. And I thank you very much for that. And Sister Jill, I wanted to say something about Brother 305. The last time he was talking, you all spread some very good information to us. You gave it to us. And it reached my ears. And it corresponded to what you said tonight about this self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say this. Please let me say this. It begins with our women and children. You know, there's a brother, I don't call his name. He let us look at some films. You know what kind of films I'm talking about? Them porn films?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where your hate began at. Brothers, stop treating them sisters like that, man. God, dog, that's hate. And then when them sisters mess around and have a baby, they don't even look that way. And to be honest with you now, you know, you try to be fair. The way them sisters receive and do things, receive what they issue out, and all this kind of crap, I can't too much blame them. I mean, it's just a mess. And that's the real hate.
That is...
When you hate our mothers and our children, and you're not making the connection and spreading the love and care to them, that's what God hates.
Hmm.
And when we stop that, we're going to make some progress. Guaranteed. But that's ugly. I don't care what nobody says. Stop that crap, man.
Well, thank
you. All preachers and teachers... Would you all please get some films and show all the girls what's going on and the boys what's going on and tell what is proper, what is improper, what is good, what is wrong, what is approved and what is disproved, what is pleasing, what is displeasing. Please get that out there, because that's our failure. That was the failure Adam and Eve eating, and that's our failure. Guaranteed. Stop that crap, man. That's ugly.
What? Thank you, brother.
Extremely ugly and disapproved and displeasing to God. And when you look at that, man, it's going to do something to you. At least me, anyway.
Okay.
And what them brothers doing, they expressing, like you say, they self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
They hate themselves. They feel insecure. They are failing in what they should be doing. And they take it out on the weakest person, the weakest sex, them sisters.
Yeah.
Y'all got to stop that. That's ugly. And sisters, they ain't coming near you with that crap. And we are acting for that. Let me say this.
Taking a
bath in another man's water. Cut that crap out. Thank you.
Sorry, Brother Al.
I was taking a bath in another man's world. Saint?
Because we're the weakest sex.
You were saying, Valencia.
I just wanted to say because we're the weakest sex.
Yeah. Well, that's... I mean, I understood his point. I'm sorry. There you are. Hi. Welcome to Hot Talk.
It's the 305.
Hey, Mr. 305, how are you?
It's
Pitbull.
What's going on?
That's not Pitbull. It's Demetrius. Yeah. It's a Pitbull. It's Demetrius. Hey, what's happening? Yes, sir.
Hey, listen. When you say Pitbull and all that, you know, listen. You got some good topics tonight, and and I see you got Mr. Norwood, and that's why I got to get on your show, because a lot of this stuff that you talk about, I was a part of all that. If Peter did How Can I Be Down, I was on the street taking him. When he did Savannah's, see, people don't know about Savannah, the soul food restaurant Peter did. It was
Savannah,
so
yeah. It was low country. It was low country.
Yeah, but see, I got.
Yeah, no, we were all there. I mean, we were all in that moment. I mean, you know, me, Chris.
Demetrius was really out there.
Yeah, no, D was definitely.
Yeah,
we know where all the bodies are buried. God bless it, too.
Marco. But the same thing is, yeah, I've been a pioneer, been around this stuff for a long time. But, Jill, my heart go out to Keon, because Keon is a great pioneer of visionary, looking at what he wants his community to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about District 5, just like you named, all the people got a type from that. District 5 is the hot seat. So
right.
You already better understand it.
Trying to
uplift your people, you're going to be attacked. And unfortunate is, we as black people, we have to cut it out. Because we as black people, we hate other people that's doing something that's positive. We're so drawn to negative, to anybody trying to create a apartment, a creative call. You want to try to find something to, you know, to deal with
to
somebody.
To tear them down about. Hold that thought.
The hate with black people is so thick. It's crazy.
No, it's true. I want to ask you guys about that, because we're rounding out, and I want to get Broadway's thought on that. But what he says is true, that there is a lot of self-hatred in our community, and there are a lot of people that are not trying to see you come up and do well, period. And I find... what time is it? 12:40 in the morning. Okay. Let's keep it 100. The other day I had a long conversation with a friend, about just, you know, just like you said, Chris, sometimes you just gotta just like lean back and just look at the landscape of what you're doing and what it's supposed to mean. And I realized that probably 85% of the people I deal with, I would never invite to my house. On the real. There are 15% of the people that I deal with on a regular basis, I think, that are honest and true and, you know, would have my back and that I can trust. The other 85% is so many people in this town, particularly bought and paid for, will say and do anything and do some strange things for some change. Mm. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And it's unfortunate that it is very unfortunate, and it's very frustrating, because so many of them, Valencia, you could chime in on this. I was in the middle of a situation. I'm just going to say it was a situation, and I thought I was in the middle of an episode of Love and Hip Hop, just fill in the blank. Because I just could not believe just the insanity that these women, what they're talking about, how they're relating to each other. I'm like, this, what you are talking about is so completely irrelevant to the big picture of our lives. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you, and what Demetrius is saying, because Demetrius has... You know, has had tremendous success on the beach over a long period of time.
So yep.
when he's talking about how we tear each other down, to have black success in the black community, you are not just overcoming your own, steps and trying to be better at whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
You actually literally have to calculate within your success, within black excellence, the hate that you're going to get from your own people.
For being excellent.
And learning how to navigate through that.
That, yep.
But still be friendly, nice to everybody.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it is a talent.
It is
me.
A real.
It's a talent, and it's unfortunate. And that's what I'm saying, like, about this Keon thing, you know, because it's been, I've been hearing about it, and oh, we yeah. just need to not take the stick.
The bait.
Don't take the bait. It's a bad story. It's unfortunate. Whatever happened, happened. I let it, you know, to me, that's how I look at it. You know, I don't want to take the bait and start, you know what I mean? And then you get people, like she's saying, coming to her, asking her to run. Let's be clear about something. Keon Hardiman is probably, no, he is our brightest black elected official, one of the brightest black elected officials.
Sure.
In Dade County, not mm-hmm. just Dade County, in the state of Florida,
yeah.
maybe not even the state of Florida, maybe nationally, because not only is he an outstanding city commissioner, the power that he has as being the chairman of a community development agency is something that you don't have in other cities.
Right.
So he has the ability to alleviate blight in a way in a community that needs it, and so he is a very powerful person in our community, but. At the same time, you're going to be a target. I think that's a part of being an elected official. I think it's a part of having that power of the CRA. But I just don't want to fan the... I don't want to take the bait.
Right. You know? Broadway and I talk about that a lot because that is a problem of being successful in the black community, period.
Right.
Broadway.
Well, first of all, for the record, I'd like to let the world know the Broadway Art District do support Keon. 100, 100, 100, 100. Now, we can't expect to get a different cake if we're going to keep on using the same ingredients. That's been our biggest problem in our community. We got 1,000 different organizations, 1,000 different churches, and you ain't going to get nothing done if you got too many hands in the pot. Somebody need to back up and say, you know what? Be on a roll. Let's roll behind her. Keon
right.
on a roll.
Yep, let's roll behind him. Yes.
But, yep. gang, I worked for the Miami Herald for 20 years plus. I know how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said, point blank, we're not here to make anybody happy. We're here to sell paper. And how do you sell paper? Propaganda.
Right.
Propaganda. Propaganda.
Yeah.
That's how they could pay me that big salary. Well, Will's paying me that big salary at that time. And I do appreciate it because they allow me to be where I'm at right now.
Say? And I thank you very much for that. But, yeah. V?
I want to, and I agree with Mr. Broadway in what Chris was saying. I just want to say this, and this is to anybody who is thinking about being a public figure, if that's an elected official or not, just understanding like the base, your base, it like that's who keeps you into whatever seat you're in. And if only thing they're seeing and hearing is the negative, and nobody is contradicting that, then it's going to be an issue. You know, I had to have this conversation with a few people that hit me up soon as like all these little, because there was some fake articles came out before this one.
Before that one, yeah.
And people was hitting me up.
But see, they all led to this. That's
right,
what I'm saying.
Right. And everybody was hitting me up. And I was just like, the issue is, you know, you guys are calling my phone about it. Y'all may even call Commissioner Hardiman. Y'all may even, you know, do your little post on Facebook. But the people who got to vote for him, y'all not talking to. And that's the biggest issue for me, you know. Like, who's going to go around this community? Like, the Miami Herald floats. Right? In a major, major way. And, you know, if we want to or not believe it, like, even on the front of the Miami Times this past week, it's two big articles about overtime. Even
yep.
though neither one of them had anything to do with Commissioner Hardiman, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if it's traffic and whatever, that's the county. Like, all that stuff be the county. And I still heard residents, oh, you see what Commissioner Hardiman doing? Nobody is correcting it.
No.
Nobody is teaching them anything different. And that's for all of us who say we support him. That's for people who he done gave CRA dollars to. I went off on them because he done made a lot of millionaires in Overtown.
Yeah.
And
Anisha Randolph went on,
yeah,
you know.
That's my girl.
Did a...
And,
and a piece know, online just,
like,
as well.
We start to see these different things, and don't get it twisted. Like, I am not a spokesperson for Commissioner Hardeman. I don't get no checks from the Hardeman camp at all or whatnot, but I do understand that if he is removed from that seat, yeah, I think we have problems now.
It's going to be an issue. Well, Dwight, I mean, you, I think, probably more than anybody can speak to that, you know, in this room, in terms of, you know, what happens to black, why do black politicians fall in that black hole? I guess that should probably be a show.
Yeah.
Our next barbershop show.
That should definitely be a show. The reality is this, that the black community is going to uplift folks, but there is no real communication, mainstay of communication network, and we always get back by miscommunication. No, it goes back to Booker T. Washington and W.B. Du Bois. You know what I'm saying? The reason they hated each other was because someone was able to drop letters to the other person, basically calling the other person out. And that's the challenge with the community, is that we have to do better about putting our own story out and really representing ourselves in the proper way. I give credit to Commissioner Hardeman, you know, things like the Overtown Music Fest.
Yeah,
you know, flourishing. You know, when you're able to sort of see, you know, what's happening in the Lyric Theater. You know, what's, you know, all the different initiatives that he's trying to put together. Kudos, but I think he has to do a better job of communicating that, like his other Latino counterparts do on the other side. The reality is, of all the commissioners to run for mayor, he could be the very next one to run for mayor. He could run for mayor now if he wanted to, but he would need something, you know, something that says, here's all the great things that he's done, the same way Commissioner Suarez is benefiting from that right now.
Yeah, and what does that look like?
No, I mean, it looks like developing relationships with reporters, you know what I mean? Like when I was in office, that was the thing. Whenever a reporter called me, it was never going to be contentious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was never going to be assumed or presumed that I was doing something, you know,
unsavory.
And you got to be transparent about that. Like, any black person entering office, you have to be more transparent than the most transparent person in the room, bottom line.
Right.
So you can't be doing anything to even remotely look shady. And if something does look shady, you have to be the first person to put out the fire when it's just the ember burning.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. We talked about that briefly when Angela Rye and Roland Martin were here for the Lead Nation event. They had a little bit of a different opinion. I'll just say that. Sometimes you shouldn't meet your heroes. I'll just say that. Because there, you know, there's levels to everything, but I find, you know, a lot of us, when we get to certain levels of this game, then, you know, sitting down and being courteous to the Miami Times and the South Florida Times and, you know, and so on, and somebody's blog. I mean, at one point, you know, Joy was one of those bloggers in the room. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I just think that...
And bottom line is, you can't forget where you came from.
Exactly.
You
know?
And that's,
you know,
this is it. It's like, even when folks get to a certain level...
Yeah.
You forget where you came from.
Yeah.
And we can't let people, media, whomever, isolate our leaders.
Right.
And that's why I started off this conversation by saying the CRA is not Keon Hardeman. The CRA is Willie Gort, Francis Suarez, Carollo, Ken Russell. That's the CRA.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
They're all insulated from all of this.
Right. Yep. That's what I'm saying. So we have to message and say, no, CRA, I don't know what y'all talking about, but Keon is one member of five that sit on there. So let's be clear about that.
Yeah. Well, Keon will be on with my brothers from Headliner Market Group. As we get closer to the Overtown Music Festival.
Absolutely. And can I do a little plug for that? We got the youth club, we got the youth zone going.
Pocket. Oh, you're doing it good.
Oh, yeah, we raise money for that every year. So we're bringing that along.
It's a beautiful
We got the
thing.
Green Family Foundation back on board. We got the Early Money Coalition back on board. So we got that coming up in July.
Yeah.
So they're going to come and talk all about it.
Yeah, well, you did
I forgot to give my disclaimer with that, but yeah, I'm all about that right there. And then we got the Key West Africana Festival.
When is that?
June 22nd.
That's how we hooked up again.
25th.
KeyWestAfricanaFestival.com. Just go there, get all the information that you need.
But why is it $7,000? God, I want to.
What's $7,000?
Key West Africana Festival. I'm kidding.
That must be for free.
I'm kidding. No, it's not. It's not $7,000.
So I got one thing.
Valencia,
though.
Yes, and
we're
out of here.
We would just talk about, you know, black people coming after black people or whatnot. But after June 17th, I'm going to piss a lot of people off in the black community because I don't really like how a lot of things been moving. And it's been real.
19th.
Yeah, right after that, it's going to be real bad. And it's going to be a lot of people pissed off with me.
Like, right here in the barbershop.
Yeah, because it has to happen.
It does. We have,
Black millennials probably won't have a space in Liberty City coming soon. Real talk. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
How many times we've been trying to have the Juneteenth Festival in Liberty City and old guard stopping us? Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, that was the whole premise of, you know, the beginning of this conversation and then our Hot Talk Live when it happens, that this intergenerational divide that we have in South Florida is a whole nother level. Right. You know, where the millennials feel like the older people in office just will not get out. They are just holding on to that check. You know,
even
like with Social Security.
The community.
Yeah.
The movement everywhere.
Did everybody get a copy of this? The Black World Guide 2017.
Can we just all go back to Africa?
I just need to know why most black restaurants and businesses that I know are not in this book.
I ain't going to Africa.
That's a whole nother conversation we need to have. John Dixon, shouts out to you for doing, you know, your best. But why do we have these things if most of our businesses are not in it? Gordon Eric Knowles, we have been talking about that. You know, I'm ready to have that conversation as soon as humanly possible. Why should I be a member of the chamber? There you go. And on that note, I want to thank Sheena O'Murray and Chris and Devon, also known as Chocolate Thunder. Broadway came by, Adrian Carter, and The Barbershop. Miss Valencia Gunder, Chris Norwood, Dwight Bullard, back in the building. Thank you so much for listening. I'm sorry the callers that we missed, but you know it gets hot in here after midnight. But we will catch you next Sunday. It's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. Well, Adrian has a tribe. Do you have a tribe over there, Broadway? You got two tribe members over there.
It's Chocolate Thunder. I ain't got nobody.
No, Chris. Chris, you got kids over there?
What's that?
Do you have children over there?
Do you have children?
Yeah, I have two kids.
Okay, well, happy Father's Day to you.
Yes, thank you.
No pets even? Dwight and Chris are like, no. Tonto?
I didn't get that call yet.
Do you have children?
Yeah.
How many?
Three.
Oh, well, happy Father's Day. Yeah. Are you going to be here or are they going to do something special for you?
I'll be here.
Okay. And so will I. Got to go love you, mean it, I am. Chill, Tracy, and this is Hot Talk. On Hot 105. Come on now.
Pop Talk with Jill Tracy. Always live, always local, always entertaining and educating South Florida.
Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot 105!
One United Bank, America's largest black-owned bank with a branch right here at 3275 Northwest 79th Street in Miami, is here for you. Just visit a branch or go to oneunited.com, open a Unity Savings account for just $100, and join the Bank Black movement. One United wants us to move our money and our minds to start doing business with black-owned businesses. Let's harness our $1.2 trillion in spending to build wealth in our community. Visit oneunited.com and join the Bank Black movement.
If you need advice about what to do if you were in a car accident, the number to call is all around you. 1-800-411-PAIN. Our trusted network of attorneys can provide guidance to people just like you. People who are in a car accident or any type of accident. Let 1-800-411-PAIN connect you with one of hundreds of experienced, knowledgeable, and aggressive attorneys in our network. Remember, after 911, call 411. 1-800-411-PAIN. Non-employee spokesperson.
Loan amounts based on income and other qualification factors. Borrowers often use payday loans over a period of months, which can be expensive. Need cash? If you need cash to get caught up on bills, you can now get up to $500 cash right here in Florida. Just dial *500 on your mobile phone, and we will text you a link to our store closest